And this is Open Up and Bleed, K-Chung Radio. My name is Eugene. This is 1630 AM on your dial, kchungradio.org/stream.html on your browser.
9 o'clock on the dot.
9 o'clock on the dot. You'll want to tune in for Open Up and Bleed. And we have, as usual, a very, very special guest on our show who's going to impart tales of joy, woes, sadness, and elation for us as I interview him, her, she. Can you introduce yourself, guest?
Good evening, listeners. This is DJ Womps.
DJ Womps. Wow, you give yourself a DJ name. You think you're important?
I did a radio show on this very radio
you
station
did have
for
one.
Many years.
How many years? That... Three? Two? One?
I'm going to go with three.
Three. What was that called?
River Abrasion, a little plug.
River Abrasion. So
those
people,
of you, those of you who like all kinds of music influenced by the Western landscape and the Grand Ole Opry, there's a lot of River Abrasion on the K-Chung
Archive.
So you're
talking about country, classic country. Yeah.
You
so
know,
like,
country,
so if someone
never,
goes to
never
K, if someone
so
goes to
tight.
KChungRadio.org archives and searches River Abrasion, will they find? Old
there are many
episode?
Episodes of okay. River Abrasion that are archived on the K-Chung show, and I'm proud of 5% of them.
Wow. Very ringing endorsement. Who are you voting for in the politics? Do you care about the politics, Womps?
I'll be voting for Bernie
so
Sanders.
So Connor Thompson, your person.
Yeah, sorry. This is Connor Thompson. I'm not
right.
DJ Womps tonight.
Right.
I am the guy
Connor
who's
Thompson.
Going to open up and bleed for you.
Right. Okay. So what are you doing on your phone right now? I hate it when people use their phone.
I know, but you posted a great pic of me and you and Neptune.
Okay. Yeah. We always post a promo pic for the show, but what are you doing?
I wanted to see the pic. I didn't really get a good look at it.
But how long could it possibly take you to find the pic?
I'm not very tech savvy. You
Put
know this about me.
Put the phone down.
I found it. I liked it.
You liked it? No, you got to wait. You got to wait till there's
a jump
least...
the gun on that?
Well, actually, no. Okay. In the olden times.
Hey, Huge.
What?
I'm already blushing.
Okay. In the old, it's because we played tennis today and like we're all red. In the olden days.
How come you have a filter over your microphone, but I got to go filterless over
I'm
here?
The host and you're the guest.
Do the guests never get a filter over their microphone?
No. I mean, do you want to fund the station to get another filter? You know
Solomon,
what's filter called?
Solomon.
He's
How
not
come
listening.
There's no filter on my microphone.
Solomon Bothwell, once most ardent and avaricious listener of K-Chung shows, now completely shuns
Solomon.
The station he helped give birth to.
By the way.
And only Luke Fishbeck toils away in the background, working his magic to get a grant, MacArthur
Solomon
Genius Grant.
Did Solomon ever ask you, or no, sorry, did he ever tell you that Chinese Rocks was his favorite K-Chung
no
show?
No way.
He told me River Abrasion was his favorite K-Chung
oh,
show.
Oh, wow. Okay, so then he did. So
we
then,
were out in the desert
of
at
course.
The High Desert Swap
of
Meet.
Of course. Okay, right.
And, well, you know, we were looking at old tchotchkes. And there was, you know, a
Have you ever
sunlight
kissed him?
Shine.
You ever kissed him on the lips?
Yeah.
On the lips?
No.
Of course, Solomon Bothwell, a man who's desperate for companionship, would tell you in the desert that his favorite show was your desert country music show.
I just think
that
Solomon...
makes sense. If me and Solomon were at some like some angry rally for First Amendment rights or something, he would tell me that Chinese Rocks was his favorite.
If you guys were at a World Trade protest in Seattle in
exactly,
1998,
exactly.
Solomon
WTO
would throw a brick,
protest.
He would throw a brick through the window of your
and
Honda
he'd be
Accord.
Like, yo, Eugene, I love Chinese Rocks.
Yeah, WTA protest.
Fuck the man.
If you guys were at an NBA protest in
Meta
2017,
Meta World Peace,
a lockout.
What did you and Solomon do at the flea market? Did you buy anything?
No, it was one of those days where it was a High Desert test sites, and K-Chung was invited out there to you know provide
music,
a live broadcast.
So do you like community, Connor? Like, I feel like we were both part of K-Chung. I never involved myself in any of their community events, even though I humor the nice people who are inclusive and like to do these things.
I think I had a lot of self-interest when I had a K-Chung show. You know, it was like I get this opportunity to to distract myself from responsibilities.
Did it work? Did you not take care of any responsibilities?
Collect records and compile songs that I wanted to share with
Tuesday
the world.
Yeah, every Tuesday you would do that, right?
You know, every once in a while I get a like on my Facebook page.
It's just
like
an illusion.
A new river abrasion.
No, I get that too. It's just an illusion. It's just fooling you into thinking that people care about your old world so that you keep using Facebook.
Oh, you're right. I'm such a sucker.
Yeah, you need to be using Snapchat.
I'm not on it yet. I don't
exactly.
know.
You're not using any of these lenses, these filters that are so popular with the teens.
I told you, I had Snapchat before everybody because I used to teach at Crossroads, and the guy who developed Snapchat was a Crossroads student.
Oh,
and
really?
Very young.
Evan? What was his name?
I'm not sure. He wasn't one of my students, but he had already graduated. But he, I was giving private art lessons to
some of the students. To a student.
This girl whose dad was the head of Sony.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like the CEO of Sony.
I thought
Sony,
it was a Japanese
Sony America.
Guy. Okay, Sony America, got it.
Yeah, Sony America. But, you know,
this
I think
is a very well-connected private school in based
in
West
Monica.
LA, Santa Monica. And the children of many sort of kind of like successful people who want their kids to be alt.
They just want their kids to be successful.
No, but like there's the other schools like Harvard, Westlake, and Oakwood. It's a little bit more alt, right?
Yeah, it has an emphasis in the arts as well as the sciences.
Yeah,
so
got
it's not all STEM, you know?
It's not about going to Harvard, although I'm sure some kids do go to Harvard. It's more about going to like Wesleyan.
I had one student who went to Harvard, and she was the daughter of Ed Zwick.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, Ed Zwick. Yeah. Yeah. I think there is a Zwick scion who's like our age too.
Oh, really?
It's like probably her older brother.
Is
was
he
like
a DJ?
30 or something. I don't know.
Is he like, never mind.
Is Schwick?
DJ Schwick.
DJ Schwick. How about your last name, Thompson? It seems that there's a lot of basketball players these days. Now, like a lot of basketball players on contemporary teams named Thompson. How about that?
Well, I think it's like Smith. Does that satisfy you? It's a very
you mean it's
common,
just a common
name.
Yeah. But you love basketball, don't you?
For Americans.
You love basketball.
Of all.
Don't you love basketball? Do you wish your last name was... What if your name was Connor LeBron?
Well, I thought you were going to say Connor Basketball, which I was like really on board with. But LeBron is a great name. Maybe I should name my firstborn son LeBron.
Would you?
The big, like,
would you
the
be
big dis- one.
Would
LeBron,
you be disappointed
the big
if
one.
Would you be disappointed?
The brawny one.
Would you be disappointed if you only had a girls?
No, not at all. Only had a girls.
How many girls would you want? Eight?
Eight.
Nine?
I don't think I would want to have that many.
How many kids is ideal?
Two.
Two kids.
Yeah, isn't that's sort of like most practical most practical people I know.
Platonic.
Uh-huh. Yeah, platonic ideal.
Yeah.
You have a mother and father, a husband and wife that stay together, and they raise a son and a daughter.
Would you want a dog or cat?
You want as much harmony as possible.
So you
in
have
a family
this stray
unit.
Cat that you returned into a house cat, right? Jerry?
No, Jerry was never a stray. His mom was a stray.
You got Jerry as a kitten?
Jerry appeared with Eugene and I in the promo photo on Instagram.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All the listeners. You have to.
So, if, in case you didn't know Jerry from my Instagram.
You know, here's the thing, Connor, just so you know, I know I told you that we would have a huge live listener base of over 3,000 people, but I kind of lied. In reality, only like 4 people listen live, and the other 2,996 people that usually tune to every episode listen over the course of 3 or 4 centuries during the night shift. We're really popular in the night shift.
What do you think of all the guests you've had on Open Up and Bleed? Who do you think created the most listenership for you?
I have no idea. Probably people with like built-in audiences.
Because you have had people.
People
like
who
on
have
the
like
show.
Social, strong social media following, like probably like Lauren Avery or Liz Lee or some people like that.
People who are
Cody Critchlow, maybe.
Already a little bit famous.
They have a social media fame already a little bit famous. I mean, when I had Ronaldo on, you know, a lot of people listened in, but I don't speak.
Lee Ronaldo?
No, like the soccer player.
Oh,
I don't
had Ronaldo on?
Yeah, I
don't. I
don't
know
I
Ronaldo.
Don't speak Portuguese, so. Or Spanish.
So
or
it didn't
whatever.
Make for a very
so
good
most,
episode?
Even though he was getting thousands of texts every minute, it seemed irrelevant to what we were talking about. We were just talking about, you know, we were just shooting the shit about Pac-Man and Martin Kippenberger.
I really love free association, so let me free associate for a moment.
Well, what? I'll say Ronaldo.
Every time I hear about a Portuguese person, you know, right. I went to undergrad in Providence.
Vasco da Gama.
And there's a legendary homeless woman on Benefit Street.
Benefit Street.
When you're out at parties at either at RISD or Brown at night, she walks up and down Benefit Street.
Why?
And
is that like
people.
Frat row or something? What's a part? Why are there
Benefit
parties?
Street is like the, on College Hill in Providence. It's like the main thoroughfare. Uh-huh. Not a thoroughfare. It's really not. It's actually a rather quiet street, but it's the main connector street between the two campuses.
But they're that close, RISD and Brown.
They're really close.
The
Providence Athenaeum is on Benefit Street.
What is that?
No, RISD and Brown campuses are almost like.
Adjacent?
They're adjacent. They are definitely adjacent. They're almost enmeshed in a certain way. They're right.
What is the Providence Athenaeum? What's that?
The Athenaeum is a really old and haunted library right on Benefit Street. Benefit Street's also
haunted, but it's open. Like you can go there.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful old library. What is that? An Athenaeum?
I don't know. It's a public library.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so this old homeless woman, very witchy vibes. Always would stop people. You know, sort of drunk. Undergrads.
She would be drunk or the kid?
No, the kids. And she'd stop you at the middle of the night and she'd kind of grab you and she'd be like, do you speak Portuguese?
But she said it in English?
Yeah.
Did she say it like with an accent?
Like, I think she was Portuguese. And right. She was looking for someone to hang with.
Yeah.
But, and Providence has a pretty large Portuguese population.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Huh.
Was
there like a neighborhood in Providence called Little Portugal?
No, they have a historic Filipino town.
Little Lisbon or something?
No, I don't. There is a little Italy in
Portugal.
Providence.
I know there's a lot of Italians in Providence.
Yeah, Federal Hill. The north end is Boston.
Like you know when you watch like some Boston, like in Departed or something, like the Italian mob comes from Providence, not from Boston.
Yeah,
I was gonna say.
Well, they all got shoved there between New York and
Boston.
And Boston when a lot of the FBI stuff was happening in the 70s. I think.
What was the FBI stuff happening in the 70s? Just shutting down the mafia.
Just
Costa
like
Nostra.
Really cracking down on the mob.
I was gonna say, Portugal is the last European country I've been to.
I've heard it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. I wish I could go.
I heard
back.
Lisbon is such a great.
It's a great old city. And like one of the funny things about Lisbon is when I was there, there were a bunch of Portuguese people were taking me around. They'd always point to like buildings and be like, "Oh yeah, like." That building is like before the earthquake, and then like this building was built after the earthquake. And there was kind of this like snooty sense that buildings that were built after the earthquake were like crappier.
Yeah.
But like the earthquake was in like 1643 or something. So it's like, this building was after the earthquake. It's still fucking like 350 years old.
Yeah, you know, I've been to Europe once, and I was really struck by how many old buildings are there.
But it's just crazy that they were like talking about the earthquake like it happened like 10 years ago or something, but literally it happened like 300 years ago.
Yeah. And then everything after that, it was all like Italian fascist architecture.
Anything new kind of feels like communist or fascist, right?
Yeah.
In Europe.
We played sports today. We played tennis.
I was thinking about this. Sorry
we love playing
off.
Tennis, yeah.
I was going to say like one of the main ways that you and I have bonded in the past couple of years, which is not how we started exactly.
Right.
The way we've maintained a really strong friendship is just through our love of sports.
Not our love of sports, just the fact that we play tennis.
Okay, but
one time we went to Tex, the French restaurant, which has now become like revivingly
popular.
Yeah,
this is a really epic day.
And
we
watched
personal
two
history.
Football, American football games, and I literally felt myself getting the flu in the second one. And then after that, I got the flu for 2 weeks, and I decided I would never watch sports with you again. But then we watched Wimbledon last year.
Yeah.
Together, and we had a good time. Or was the Australian?
Thank God Djokovic saved us.
Yeah. And then now we're ending up watching the basketball games here. So tonight today we played tennis.
We've been
and then we
feasting
watched
on NBA playoff
we've been feasting
games.
On
every game we watch seems to be a blowout.
We don't ever catch the good ones together. But don't you think it's like, here's what I'll say. You're my sports enabler. I don't watch sports without you, really.
I'm my own sports.
Yeah, you are sports. I would call you a fanatic.
No,
you're a fanatic. You do look at the
it's
word
a coping mechanism.
Look at fanatic, and then look at the word fantasy. you do fantasy sports. Those are, that's the same route. Do you not do fantasy?
I do one fantasy team.
Which is what?
NBA.
Basketball.
Basketball. The team.
But you get into it. I mean, you do that for what, 5 or 6 months?
Well, it's a long NBA season, you know.
What's the season? 6 months? 7 months?
Yeah, it's October to April, really.
Yeah, that's at least 7 months, maybe even 8 months.
It's a long, and I mean, I think there are 82 regular season games.
So you try to watch as many games as you can. You make trades. I mean, how much time do you think that takes up a week doing fantasy league? Like 20 hours a week?
No. It's all
10 hours.
It's all rapid fire.
But here's the thing: I got this app.